Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. The objective for us to gather together, we have two objectives. The first objective is to do the dhikr, to remember Allah, to do the dhikr of Allah. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah in abundance. Thumma alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah that for some time, we get together. Allah Ta'ala has called us to His home, allowed us to come to His home so that we can remember Him. Otherwise, is there anything lacking in the praise of Allah? Is the creation around us not remembering Allah? So it's us who are fortunate that Allah Ta'ala has turned our hearts towards His dhikr and kept us busy in His dhikr. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also included this in his du'as, that Allah, please allow my heart to be focused in your dhikr, in your remembrance. What a great dua that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited. So imagine the amal, which is a reflection of this dua. To me, if for example, if I need something desperately, Allah give me health, Allah give me eyes, Allah give me sight, Allah give me protection. This is why we do du'as, because we like those things that we ask for. We need those things that we ask for. And that's why we do du'a. That's why we pray. We always do du'a to Allah for those things or items that we are in need of. And Allah knows most. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from amongst all of humankind, knew the most and had the hikmah. And he knew that the best thing to ask from Allah is the greatest thing. That Allah, please turn our hearts to your remembrance. So this is a big dua prayer to turn away from negligence, arrogance, ignorance, non-attention to Allah. Because today the dunya is a ghafil. We are negligence. We don't understand the importance of dhikr, the words of dhikr, the emphasis of dhikr, the importance of dhikr, nor do we turn towards dhikr, nor do we remember Allah. And if we remember Allah, there's some sort of underlying, some sort of reason in the background, some hisab, some issue, some reason. But the objective of dhikr is one. Very few people remember Allah for that maqsad, objective. Allah is our Khalik, our Creator, our Lord, our Owner, Controller. He's our God, He's our everything. He's the one who gave us life, He's the one who gives rewards, He's the one who gives health. So is it not rightful, right, the right of Allah that we sit and remember Him, that we recite His name, we glorify Him, we praise Him? Is this not Allah's right? It's a big right of Allah that we do this. So this is one benefit, alhamdulillah, that Allah has given us the karam, that we sit and do His dhikr. And the second objective is that little bit of discussion, words we share, Allah Ta'ala instills some thoughts and facts into the mind. And the objective of discussing this is one, that whatever we discuss and speak about and share, that it becomes beneficial for me and you in our lives. In our lives, so that we can fulfill the objective of sitting and speaking. If we just chatter and natter and don't get any benefit, what's the point? So alhamdulillah, today Allah Ta'ala has instilled a point into my mind which is very valuable. Very valuable. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to do amal on this point. Now, we practice, we do amal, Allah gives tawfiq, and we have the faraid, the compulsory actions that we do. But despite this, Allah gives the tawfiq for us to do good amal, good deeds. And we practice those deeds. But how do we know, what guarantee do I have that Allah is accepting my deeds or not? I don't know. I'm doing dhikr now. Yeah? And this is Allah Ta'ala, we're glorifying Allah. It's Allah's choice. He could throw the dhikr back in my face. Or I'm practicing another deed. And subhanAllah, glory be to Allah, there's such an action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just accept that amal, that deed, rather on top of that, it's the most beloved amal for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a great point here, huh? Let's look at this. So this deed is the most beloved, it becomes the most beloved action or deed in Allah's eyes. And here, Allah ta'ala has not set us an amount that we have to do to make this deed beloved. If Allah says that this amal is mahbub to me, beloved to me, for which reason? If we fulfill that condition. Yeah, this is the hadith, alhamdulillah. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha narrates this hadith, and وَكَانَ حَبَّدَيْنِ, it's a long hadith, and I'm just reciting a bit of it, that Allah Ta'ala says that that deed is very beloved to me, it's the most beloved deed to me. the beloved action to me of my servant. And what is that? That is the root, the trick. What's the trick that we need to understand? We need to look at that point so we can understand that Allah, whatever amal we do, Allah Ta'ala considers that amal as beloved. So it's beneficial, isn't it? So let's explain it again. That whichever deed we implement, we need to keep this point in mind, that this deed we are implementing, we don't just want it to be accepted, rather we want to make it the most beloved in the eyes of Allah, in the court of Allah. Whichever deed we're implementing, then whatever becomes beloved to Allah, that amal of ours that we are doing, then we'll get the reward. See what the reward will be. What will be the ajr? What rewards Allah Ta'ala will rain down on that person if he fulfills that deed, implements that deed according to the condition. So if in this way, this methodology, we implement a deed and that is beloved to Allah, then everything we should do according to that way. We should practice a deed in that way, that Allah holds that deed beloved. So will we do this? Inshallah. So this is the hadith, very beloved hadith. Wakana, as Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha narrates, Wakana Abudain, that Allah Ta'ala, what deed is most beloved to Allah? What is that? What is the, you can say, quality within the deed that it becomes beloved to Allah? Then ahead, further, as Aisha Siddiqa states, this is the hadith, the words that are further stated, are that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most of all, from the deeds, the beloved action to Allah is that deed which the person who is implementing that deed, the person who is implementing that deed, ilahi du'ama, that he does it consistently, ongoing and regularly. This is the condition. This is the condition. That deed that Allah Ta'ala servant does ongoing, regularly, consistently. Don't forget about acceptance. It will become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we need to do. This is a very important point for us. A valuable point here. And the sawwuf, you can say, the summary, the wazifas we do, the dhikr we do, adhkar, and lessons we follow. And this is the result of this. Where a person fails is when he is not regular and consistent. The Kamil Mashaykh, they used to give a lot of focus and attention to the students on this point. Not that you do much and lots in abundance, rather that you do regularity of deeds. Regularity and consistency. Now here, how much is told to us that you get, you're given sheets? It's not a punishment. How much benefit is attained? That you are doing it regularly, what you're doing. Those people who take hold of this, and there are many people, mashallah, who don't react correctly. Rather, the mashaykh, every point, every action of a sheikh is for the hereafter, for the benefit of the hereafter, for those around them. They don't want to pester people. They don't want to do it for hisab, kitab, or to get any other benefit from people. No, every ustad who is a good teacher, he will try that my son, my student, he passes with a first class grade. Yeah, this is the try that the teacher tries his best. He puts a lot of effort and time in with the student and over time to get the results from the student. So that my student, that for the student of the hereafter, then mashallah, for that student in that way, in that style, with sincerity, the sincere ustad, teacher, he then works hard and makes effort. So here, the people who want to travel to the success, the students, obviously, if you're in a class, there are different types of students, and I've taught, I used to teach in college as well, practical as well for me. I used to do that. They say there are 30 students, 30 children, you're teaching them. And this was also my sort of selection and experience, that the child that would progress in my class, and I was a professor of geology, geography and planets and this and solar system, and it's an interesting topic. And from the 30-40 children, or the boys and the girls, the young boys and girls that were in the class, from all of them there were 10, maybe they would respond in a positive way and respond to the teacher's education. Then they're given more selection, more priority, and then there's more time given to them, more focus on them, and some of the students become beloved to the teacher. And this is the experience I have in the teacher. So if Allah Ta'ala has given me also students of the akhirah hereafter, and brothers and sisters, and mashallah, with the fadl of Allah, and this is my same class carrying on. So I use that, my teaching experience I utilize, and like I used to have deliver to the class in the school, in the same way I have the class here, in the same way I speak to you and try to advise. And this is the way I, my style of teaching. So here, the student that then progresses, listens and implements and practices, then obviously, and that student becomes close to the teacher. So those were khair dunya students, and the student of the hereafter becomes so close to the teacher that he gets close to Allah. So this is what we need to understand. And some students, they come and they go, they come and they go. It makes no difference. They don't stay in the teacher's focus or in the sight of the teacher or in the importance for the teacher. So Allah Ta'ala said this. This is the principle. So this is a very big point we need to see, that the sheets we fill in and we are striving to do ibadah correctly and we do it for ourselves. This is mashallah, the assistance of the teacher that is helping you, going over time to you. Otherwise, there are many mashayikh, they give you sabah, they give you dhikr, that's it. They don't ask the student what's happening, what's not happening, progress and benefit. And they are Naqshbandi as well. Yeah. So everybody is a different style, different method. Everybody. So some teachers, they joke with the student, what's this, what are these sheets? They joke against the other sheikh. What's this system, sheets and sins and prayer and etc. But the person who's teaching knows the benefit. Because the biggest lesson in tasawwuf is regularity, consistency. And what's the reward? Imagine one deed. What is the deed? Not this that you have to, for example, do a massive deed that takes hours on end. No. No big wazifa, no. The amal is this, that there's an insan. And even if he just says that, in my life I want to make a decision that before I sleep, I want to make a habit. There's a 3 times I'm going to recite Surah Ikhlas. 3 times. What do we do? 1,000 times I'm going to recite Durood Sharif, then I'm going to go to sleep. And every Jummah I'm going to do this, etc. That there's a person who doesn't have a teacher, there's a guide, and he comes into passion, or that the person hears the speech, whoever does this much dhikr in the night, he'll do ziyarah and do this much dhikr, so much, so from today I'm going to do so much, and every day and every night. And women, they're like this, they look at the kitabs, there's this wazifa, this lesson, this prescription, I had this, whatever. And what happens is the person overburdens himself or herself, and maybe 2-3 weeks from 1,000, then it reduces down and then it disappears. What's the benefit of that amal? Nothing. And if you learn and take the lesson and dhikr from a pious elder, this was Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullah, this was his habit. He used to see, this was his style. He wouldn't give the same dhikr to all of his students. He knew the capacity of each and every student, that one is a madaris, one is a student, one's an alim, one teaches somewhere, somebody's a teacher, somebody's a taxi driver, somebody's a shopkeeper. Yeah, everybody has to go to Allah, isn't it? It's obvious, and one is free. Totally free in the dunya. And the free person, give him 1,000, he'll do it easily. He'll eat, drink, and say, I've done it. The person who's driving taxi, how will he do that much? He has to drive the taxi, or is he going to do wazifa and zikr? How will he have istiqamah, regularity? Or somebody's got a job very long, or somebody's an alim, a scholar, and he teaches. And mashallah, he has to prepare and in advance for the, what's the technical word? He has to do that, prepare for the lesson, so he can deliver the lesson. So when he prepares for the dars, for the teaching, he doesn't have time to do dhikr. So does that mean the poor soul cannot do dhikr? And he's free? And he will never gain? No, this is not the case. Tasawwuf is for everybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every human being, that this person is like this, this is his condition, his manners, this is his ability, capability, capacity. So that much dhikr is prescribed, so that that individual can do it with this istiqamah. Somebody says, no, he's got so much dhikr, and I've only got a little bit. Oh, they don't understand that this is not according to your ability or capacity. He says, oh, Hazrat, he likes this person a lot. He calls him, gives him this much dhikr. Oh, madman, at least you're being given something and be grateful. Why do you want to stick your leg in and stick your foot into somebody else's business? You can't do more than that. Whatever your teacher, he knows best of what you are able to do, what you need to do, what you are required to do. So the person, the teacher knows that the student here, maybe he's a drama, but the teacher wants the student to progress. So in the same way, Hazrat Tanvi Ramta used to ask, then he would understand the condition and lifestyle of a student. What's your life? Are you married? 1, 2, 3. Okay, then he would get his dhikr according to his life, because he has to also clash with the wives and make a decision with the wives. So he hasn't got much time. He's got a clash, he's got 3 wives, what problems. So will you do get married 3 times? MashaAllah. Maybe it's difficult, one, to pass the time. They say that we don't even get the time for doing dhikr even with one wife. We say it's very difficult, we don't get the time. So how are we going to get the time with 3 wives? But Hazrat Tanvi Ramtullah used to understand the lifestyle and the framework of each of his students, so he could prescribe to them what they needed. So the point that this hadith is telling us, that don't worry about anything else, but worry about one thing. Whatever you do it regularly, consistently, ongoing. What is it? We need to attain Allah's nidhi. So for example, somebody says to me, recite durood 1,000 times and every Thursday night, and do it this many times and read this many rakats, and you'll see the Prophet ﷺ in ziyarah, and he's doing it and he can't get it. Then he leaves it. On the other side, he has a shaykh. He says, okay, just recite durood 3 times, and he gave him 1 durood to recite 3 times. That's it. And he starts doing that. Just three times recite the Durood Sharif. Then can somebody speak back? And people, they even leave this, even istiqamah for this is hard. I tell you this now. That if you say, oh, I'll do it, but it becomes very difficult to have istiqamah because shaitan is clever and he has tactics. And he attacks the student from different ways. Even to recite Durood Sharif is hard for the student. He says, oh, it's too hard for me, I can't do it. But let's see the point here. If 1,000, and here he says three times. The person who recites three times with istiqamah, I'll give you the examples. He said, okay, I'm going to recite the Durood Sharif three times in my life. I'll make it the habit in my life. And never, never did that person leave the recitation with Durood. And that Durood brought the ziyarah to the person's life. And this is the experience. And if a person recites Durood, then he leaves. I can give you various examples. He suddenly got, oh, astaghfirullah, what's happened? How did I stop doing Durood today? You see this? This is istiqamat. So when a person takes all of istiqamat on his wazifa, then not only does he get ajr, reward. He gets ajr, reward, but on top of that he gets elevation and he becomes beloved to Allah and he attains his state, his destination. But if a person is not regular, not consistent, becomes bayah, takes the wazifas, takes dhikr, does everything, but is not regular in what he's meant to do. What's the regularity? The 3 years, 4 years he does it, and then after 4 years he goes up and down, up and down. I've seen many people, various people, that not suddenly, slowly, but due to the lifestyle, istiqamah means that until death you have to be regular and steadfast, consistent in your dhikr. As Ali karamallahu wajh radiyallahu anhu, I'll give you this example. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a wazifa, which is both tasbih Fatima, to both husband and wife, sat them down, he said, why don't you recite this, that we all today recite. Tasbih Fatima. So he took that lesson as Ali, he obtained that lesson from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the recitation, and we realize this is a sunnah, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to take dhikr from a shaykh is jais, is permission. But people say, oh, I'll do it myself, what difference does it make? I don't need a teacher, shaykh, I'll do it myself. No. This is the sunnah. As Ali karamallahu wajh is babul ilm, the door of knowledge. All of the knowledge is coming through his door, and nobody can go into knowledge, and this is the ilm of the akhirah, the hereafter. And himself, nobody can learn tasawwuf. The stamp and the seal was given to him and his maqam so great. And look at this, wazifa is given 33, 33, 34. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahumma. So he didn't say, oh, I'm great, I know everything. He thought whatever I will attain will be from this wazifa and with consistency. He recited it. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said himself that this was my condition, that in my life there came such a night, severe night, Siffin, I think it was during the expedition of Siffin or some other night. And he said that it was the expedition and it was severe conditions around the Sahaba. He said it was a severe night, but that night, he said, I never left my wazifa, I never left my lesson. He said, I was awake, alert, conscious, and I recited what was prescribed to me by Rasulullah. So brothers, Sufis, this is the main point, not the wazifa, I want to earn thawab reward, and one day I leave it, one day I do more, next day I do less dhikr. 5-10 years a person then loses the path after that. Some people after 20 years they lose the path. But write this note, that once if you come and you're given a wazifa, then this is for life until death, you need to do this dhikr as it is prescribed with istiqamat, consistency. Otherwise, and say, yes, now I'm free. And to oppose the wazifa and do other things, first fulfill this wazifa, the dhikr you told, doesn't matter what nights come, what days come, what difficulties come, what issues, nothing can be greater than the wazifa that your shaykh has prescribed to you. First have istiqamah on that, after that do other things. After that do other things. Yeah, and then it's okay to do extra of that. And then see that beautiful, great reward you'll get. But if you're not doing this regularly, then the meaning of the hadith is that, what is the case? You don't get ajr, you don't get the reward. And today I've done more, then after 10 years I do more, then after that I decrease, and the stuff that I did before won't benefit me either. I have to be regular. The amount, quantity that's prescribed needs to be done. So this is the most important point, that whatever your shaykh prescribes to you, we've had 10 times Allah or 15 times Allah, do this, this, be whatever. Doesn't matter what occurs, issues, problems around you, you do that daily. And those who are serious, you don't need to show me, nor do I have a link with this. No, blood give tarbiq. This I just gave you for your encouragement, that for your istiqamat, I said that fill in the sheets for your steadfastness. So you can understand that you are on the right path and steadfast and regular. So you should be regular and steadfast in leaving a sin and in doing the good deeds, the salah and the thikr. So judge yourself based on your sheets, your tracking sheets. You'll be grateful that you've got a great technique. So you see here, I'm weak here. And today, my wazifa, I did less dhikr today, 10 less. Today, I didn't go to the majlis. Why didn't I go to the majlis? Why was I lazy? Negligent. Why did laziness come? Ignorance come? After that, the person, then he loses the path, loses the track. Then his struggle, his effort is wasted. So this is a regular, ongoing system. Yeah, we can't just do one thing one day and then say, oh, I don't need to do this now, Allah will give everything. Allah says, I've made a system, principles, rules, that physically you have to make effort. And then we start saying, oh, that person's doing this much, I need to do the same, he's reciting this kalama, I want this kalama. These are foolish people, disrespectful, they don't have aqal. Now, who are you competing with? Think about yourself, your own scenario. Every student is different. One student's like this, that student's like this, and you're competing with other people. Why? Imagine this. Imagine, we don't want to look at our own deficiencies. Why has he got this? Why is he not like this? He's doing this. Why is it not happening to me? So this is disrespect. We can say that when shaitan makes a person foolish, then he becomes very silly and foolish and his brain is suppressed. So Allah Ta'ala says this here, that think about your own routine program, what you've been taught. So we understand this point. This is very important for me and you, that whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to us, dhikr and remembrance and the program we've been prescribed, we need to be regular on this. Not from kitabs, whatever the shaykh gives, we learn from that. No, I want to increase it to this point, that every amal, whatever we do, Darood Sharif, one subhanallah, that sunnah to have istiqamat, how many subhanallah? He said, read this 15 times in the day, that's enough, that's the matter of time ago. I'll give you an example. And he is regular in 15, even if he passes away all his life, 15 times is the subhanallah every day. Then this is the beloved deed in the eyes of Allah. The 15 times a day subhanallah on the day of judgment, he will go. And Allah will say, take this amal because this is the most beloved to me. Allah will say, because he was regular. So how long does it take to say subhanallah? But because he was doing it regularly due to the prescription he received from his teacher. No, lazy, oh, this ain't fard. Why do I need? This becomes fard for the student, for his akhirah, for his benefit. Tahajjud, praying. That's why it's stated to you to pray two salah, Ishraq and Tahajjud. That these are lazim, you need to pray these. And other salahs aren't prescribed to you because it's not important. If you want to start praying, oh, I want to do nafil, I want to do this and start copying. No, what happens then? Rather than benefit, what does that thing give you? It gives you loss and negativity. The shaykh knows that the student has that passion, desire, but the shaykh doesn't want to overburden the student. I've seen students like this. 40 years that is istiqamat, regular, they had a spark, lessons, dhikr, and then after 34 years, they went downhill. Oh, I don't know, I get lazy, I can't do it regularly anymore. What's this? And they have then lost, they're lost. They're free. 30, 40 years of struggle and effort, it goes. So the most important mujahidah in the path of tasawwuf is what? Regularity. Consistency, daily, night, weekly, everything. If you're coming in the morning to the majlis, be regular. If you're coming in the evening, be regular. Come to the masjid, be regular. Consistent in your actions. You're leaving a sin, the shaykh tells you to leave a sin, be regular. No, you leave it today, it comes back tomorrow. Then you will not be successful. The success will not come. The secret behind success is being regular and consistent in your lifestyle and program daily. There's another hadith, alhamdulillah, that we get a bit of a warning in this hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a Sahih Muslim hadith. Rasulullah sallam said that, look, this is the situation, the meaning of the hadith I'm telling you, is that if, for example, this occurs, we are human beings, we are weak, we can fall down, make a mistake, and for example, it can happen, not always, but sometimes it may happen, that for example, you are regular in tahajjud, or you do your dhikr in the morning, the dhikr you've been prescribed, and your eyes didn't open. Sometimes it may happen. Sometimes it happens. You're ill and you couldn't wake up. You became so ill, such ill that you couldn't do your deeds or your wazifa, your lessons, your dhikr. You weren't awake, conscious. You had a cough or flu. There are many reasons a person becomes ill and he's ill, the poor soul. He can't do it then, can he? Physically. Your eyes didn't open. You didn't wake up. Or extreme, you could say maybe laziness or something. Then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated about this, that there's a tariqah, one method that you need to take out of. What's that? That from Fajr until Dhuhr, that you fulfill that wazifa you missed, you will get the same reward that you did, would have received if you did it in its time, like in, for example, in the night. So this is the karma, doesn't go, oh, I've left it, now I'll leave it. No. Qaza, there is the compensation, the lateness, not the qaza of fard that you have to do in your life, but it's mustahib for you to make up for the dhikr you missed in the night or in the early morning. If you do it before the midday, from Fajr until Dhuhr, the time between Fajr and Dhuhr, if you do that same wazifa, you will get the same word. And there's another hadith of Muslim Sharif, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said himself, that sometimes for example, if a person doesn't pray tahajjud, because Rasulullah had to teach us, maybe for illness, whatever. So Rasulullah said, what do I do? That before Dhuhr, I fulfill that same salah, 12 rakat, sometimes 8 rakat. And sometimes they used to put the two together in tahajjud. So Rasulullah said, before Dhuhr, I would fulfill the amount outstanding. And Rasulullah demonstrated himself so that we get encouragement and drive and a passion to do this amal. So great examples we've got. So this may seem a small point, but is a very important point. Two, three things we understand here that don't into big quantities, abundance. The objective is to please Allah. That's the objective. We don't please Allah through masses of quantities and numbers, 10,000, 50,000. Alhamdulillah, do 100,000. There are walis of Allah who do this all their life. They did 100,000 every day. Recitation, 100,000. And it's not the case that they left 100,000. They carried on consistently, regularly every day. And they had to put the spices on their eyes to keep awake so they didn't fall asleep. And these were the ashikin, the lovers of Allah, and they did 100,000 durood before sleeping. They used to recite it. Such great walis. And we have to read this nafal. All their life they prayed that nafal salat. Deeds. Allah give us so much strength, we can do this. But anyway, this is according to person's capability, capacity and strength. Don't try to become Bayezid Bastami. The two nights you'll become Bayezid Bastami or Rabia Basri, the sister, she'll pull herself. But the third day, night, we'll fall down flat on our faces. Because we don't have that energy. So we should do dua. That Allah make us wasila as a Bayezid Bastami. If I've got a desire, passion, if you want to increase it, then ask your sheikh and keep on increasing. And if he sees you got istiqamah, then he'll keep on increasing your wazifa, your dhikr, and make sure you complete that amount. So this is the point. Do less maybe, but do it regularly, and it should be ongoing forever until death. This is the pure lesson for the salikin, for the travelers on the journey of tasawwuf. A beautiful message, beautiful nasiha and advice, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala, not just that we want to get less ajr, less reward, we want to not do enough, only a little bit. There's another thing here. Anyway, a person, for example, he's lived all his life, and he wasted his time talking, chatting, wasting time in his last few years, or he's ill, final moments, he's sad, distress is hard to walk. Then he heard something like this, that he thought, what shall I do? That my istiqamah is gone, I failed in all the years before me. That death is about to come to me, I'm about to reach to the grave, I think I'm really close to death. How will I do this with regret? No, well, he should straight away, he makes niyyah, that straight away, that brother. Make niyyah, brother or sister, that three times I'm going to say Alhamdulillah. That's it. And start doing burd of that. And until death doesn't come, be regular and steadfast in the action, and you will get that same reward and rank. And there are people like this. Allah Ta'ala has made them an example that don't lose hope, don't despair. If you understand today, after many decades or years of wasting time, then start from today. If tomorrow you understand, then start from tomorrow. But you should do your wazifas completely according to your life and according to your condition. Tell your sheikh that this is my lifestyle, my work, my occupation, my family status, my time. And the sheikh will prescribe you the dhikr that you can do. And then you stay continuous in it. So there's another point here also, that not just this, you keep running after sheikh. Sheikh, give me more. Tell me more to recite. Please, what shall I do more? Because this is the person who is a foolish student, who doesn't have understanding. That the sheikh is not giving you more sabak or dhikr, then this is for your benefit. For your benefit, it's not for your loss. Whatever he's given to you, with love, be regular in the dhikr your sheikh's into. And don't try to go towards masses of quantity. Rather, what you've been prescribed, do that with love and muhabbat. Because here, it's not about more or less. This is not the comparison. This is not the subject of more or less. Rather, it comes from these points. That the person who is given one sabak, one lesson, he's got istiqamat, regularity, then he is doing it consistently, then he will be the person who will get the closeness to Allah. It will be greater than the other. So the objective is to please Allah. What a big point here, that the dhikr we do, the name of Allah, Ismul Adham, the majalis that we attend, these are beloved to Allah, they should be beloved to Allah. SubhanAllah, oh, what else do we need? That the dhikr we're doing, that Allah, this is beloved. Allah will say, this is my boo, because he came yesterday. And what is today? Today is Monday. And he came last Monday, and he's come this Monday as well. And the last Monday he was there as well. So just take all of Monday then, with regularity if you can. And if he says, too hard for me to go, I'm working. Okay, Monday is regular for me. I'm definitely going to go on Monday. The rest of the days I'll be. But even if we don't do this, that whatever happens on Monday, I'm going to sit in this masjid and do this. Alhamdulillah, I say with guarantee on this prayer mat, sitting here, that I don't know about other deeds, your Hajj and Umrah. But this amal, if I can guarantee you, this majlis, if you come regularly, with conviction, you promise that I'm going to sit here with the niyyah, that one day a week, on Monday I'm going to sit, then you will be given forgiveness by Allah. This is the promise of Allah, that the person who has taken all of regularity, consistency. So what have I said? That this is a majlis, because in this majlis, we need to earn our forgiveness. And if the person makes his mind up that through this majlis, I'm going to be regular and earn my forgiveness, inshallah, then Allah will give. So this is a great path, not just for forgiveness, but Allah Ta'ala gives the high, great reward. Allah Ta'ala has opened the doors for us sinners, so we can improve and increase in our closeness to Allah in paradise and earn it. And if a person's very great, mashallah, strong, and he says, I'm going to go to two, or Noor al-Nur, four majlis, I'm going to go. If he says, I'm going to go to every majlis, wow, mashallah, then you are going to get the most reward, then you are high. high in status and rank. So in this condition, there's another point. If a person becomes ill, and he says, I'm going to go. Or a child is ill, or a doctor, you have to go to the doctor, and there's an emergency suddenly, in which definitely you cannot reach the emergency, and your heart is crying. And what does Allah Ta'ala say? That I will send the angels to you, mashallah, and they will do your dhikr in your place. So the angels will be sent to the gathering, the majlis, in your place, and they will do dhikr on your behalf. And when they're free, they say, Allah, all the dhikr we've done is for this person, because this person couldn't come on Monday. Allah will say, I know, he was crying, his heart was sobbing, but he was ill. His son was ill, or his daughter, or his child, or his wife, and he couldn't go to the masjid, or himself he was very ill, and he was crying in his heart, how can I not go? And he was shaking, shivering. Allah Ta'ala says, go, and the best angel from the heavens, Allah sends him, go to the majlis on his behalf and do dhikr on his behalf, or her behalf. And that angel does the dhikr. And what do we need to do? The angels come from the heavens to do dhikr. All his life he's done dhikr. Imagine his purity. And that person, and he gets the reward for not coming. Why? Because he had me intention that Allah, I do dhikr regularly and I couldn't arrive today. I couldn't reach today. If the death comes, it should come this way. I've seen and I heard about the great possibilities. Says Allah, if you give me death in that form, in that majlis, so that I can have istiqamah and regularity. Allah Ta'ala allows then those people who are in sujood, Allah Ta'ala takes their life away at that time. So this is a drama. A person leaves the majlis. Oh, I'm fine. I don't need to do any more. I've achieved. Now this is self-deception. The hadith teaches, that Rasulullah SAW has taught us, that the principles and rules Allah Ta'ala has laid down is that we have to be regular. There's the light in this nur. And what a great subject if we understand it. That how many people, they get the right path if they're regular, if they're consistent. Allah gives the best rewards in this. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, that in this, whatever amal we do, in that amal we have regularity, we're consistent, we don't leave it. Rather, we write in our diary that this is my objective and this is my mamool in the day that I have to go to the majlis with regularity. And there are three majlis that are enough for me, or two, or all the majlis I will attend. And with regularity, I will do this. Regularity. And the wazifa the shaykh gives, if he gives it, the lesson that he prescribes to you for dhikr, then do it with the depths of your heart, with the happiness. And like, for example, this is what I do in the morning, in the evening, the wazifa in the morning. How long can you do it? For how long? Well, look, from Fajr until Dhuhr. If you miss out what you do in the night, in the morning, then carry on during the morning, whether in your taxi or in your shop, you complete the amount you meant to do. Allah says, I'll give you the same ajr as if you sat down in the night and did that dhikr. In the same condition, you were forced to, you couldn't do it. Not every day. Don't make it a habit every day. You miss it or you go to sleep. No, if you're really forced to, not do it. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.